It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Ed's Seafood Shed.
And David loves Seafood Shed. On the hill, it's past four.
Yep, been serving some good food for a while. Had to move up top of the hill, but other than that, it's all the same.
You know what? You got to get away from that water, man.
No doubt.
The fire bugs.
Yeah. It wasn't the water. It really did them in. So,
yeah. You know, no, it wasn't. But, they didn't have enough water to put the fire out.
Exactly. But good people putting, you know, serving good food. But hope if you have any questions, give us a call, and we'll see if we can't get your questions answered. And we got some guests here tonight, so we'll go on and get started. We do have looks like we do have a caller online. So, caller, you with us?
It's the Donut Man.
The Donut Man.
Yes, sir. Everybody know
number
all
one
right?
fan, Donut Man.
Yes, sir. This is your number one show in Mobile, Alabama, right?
Oh, Lord. It's been
the number
flowers
one
on the
show. Yeah.
Been in flowers on my head starting to swell.
Did they put the first tilt steering wheel in a car, and what car was it? What car company was it? What year they put the first tilt steering wheel in a car? And what car company was it?
It was a model. The hinge come loose at the bottom and broke and it was tilted.
I'll go along with that.
I have no idea, don't I, man?
I'm going to say somewhere around 60, 61. I may be wrong, but
let me Google it, don't I, man?
No, don't Google it.
I want to say somewhere. I won't call it the General Motors product. Be a Cadillac or Oldsmobile.
1968 Chevrolet.
Really?
Okay.
Did it say
it
what
the first
what,
one put the tilt steering wheel?
What brand
in the
of
car,
Chevrolet?
1968 Chevrolet.
What did it say? What brand was it? Impala or what?
They did not say.
Yeah. Didn't say. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I have to call the White House and get that information.
Oh, my
there
Lord.
There you go.
Okay. Well, you won't get any information because he's going to be stuttering on you. I know.
We got guests tonight on the program, huh?
Yes, we have. Yep. You need to stand by and listen to these people here. We've got some outstanding politicians that are running for some offices here, and we need them in those offices.
All right, well, I'm going to hang the phone up right to here.
All right.
I want to thank y'all. We love y'all, and keep it going.
So now you're going to be our number one listener.
Yes, sir. Number one listener. I want my trophy.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to get you a trophy.
I want a bowl of red beans and rice and Connecticut sausage and cornbread.
Ooh, wait a minute. You got enough for more than one?
Talk to y'all later.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Marcus.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right. What a blessing you have a fan like that. He's going to call every show.
He's going to call every week.
And he's going to stump you with a car question, too.
He's going to try. Well, he stumped us tonight, so.
Yeah.
I was in the area, but I wasn't sure. So.
There you go. Yeah.
But it looks like we do have another caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yeah, man. How y'all doing, man?
Oh, there he is. There he is.
All good.
I ain't gonna stay on long, but I want to tell y'all something. I'm mad at you and Tom.
Uh-oh, what did we do?
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna tell y'all, I went to Huntsville Friday.
Uh-oh.
And I saw my grandbaby, saw my son, his lady, and came back Sunday. But what y'all didn't tell me, man.
Uh-oh, you got a ticket.
Y'all didn't tell me between Greenville and Fort Deposit, it was gonna be a wreck.
Uh-oh.
And I was gonna be in that traffic for an hour.
Uh-oh.
And y'all didn't tell me when I got off 65, on 565, right before you get to the Space Center, another wreck, I'm in traffic another hour. Y'all didn't tell me that, man.
Well, you know, we just didn't have that in our vision when we talked about that. We knew it was going to happen, but we just didn't get a proper notification.
Yeah, my crystal ball has been a little cloudy here lately. So
you got some Windex. We need to clean our crystal ball.
Yeah.
So instead of me getting there at 5 o'clock, I got there by 7:20, but it was all right.
Yeah. Oh, man, they kept the iced tea cold.
All right, then. I just want to holler at y'all, man. Y'all enjoy your show.
How did you enjoy that Santa Fe you got?
Oh, man, man, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. It ain't bad.
That's a nice ride, isn't it?
Do you answer
your phone through that Bluetooth in the radio?
You know, my son got a station man or play Motown all the way up there.
Well, he will, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You could get on that Bluetooth.
XM stereo or something. I don't know nothing about this. Well,
it's XM radio. You know, and that, it's nice, especially when you're traveling, because you can just put it on whatever channel you like and all the way.
I like to get on Pandora and put it on mine and listen to Boots Randolph and Yakety Sax and some of that old saxophone music.
Yep.
Oh man, you going back to the Platters and all them guys?
Oh yeah, I'm going back to the Platters now. You know I am.
All right, y'all, man. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
All right. Well, hang on there, buddy. We got some good guests for you tonight.
All right.
And thank you for calling in. But, I tell you what, it's no fun getting on the interstate and getting in a wreck like that. And,
no.
I've done it. They went one of the times we went to Houston coming back.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got that, I don't know how many miles it is. It's about 12 or 18 miles or whatever it is across the swamp over there in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
And we got on, and I could still see where I got on that bridge at, and we stopped.
Uh-oh.
So there wasn't no backing off of it. No. So
they do have some crossovers on there, though.
They do. But
I worried about those when I was going across there on that Chopalachee or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It backed up, and it took us probably 4 hours to get across that bridge.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And,
well, you know, do you use any of the new programs that they've got on the on your cell phones that shows you what wrecks are in front of you or where the police are at and all that stuff?
We do. And I've usually got – I mean, not that I don't know the way.
Oh, yeah.
But I've usually got my GPS pulled up I
listen to that for the accidents and all in case I need to get off the interstate.
Well, and
maybe
there's
get on a side road or something.
There's always stuff about accidents. There's stuff about whether they've got radar up there ahead
radar,
of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Or road construction.
Road construction is all that kind of stuff. You know, and you know, I keep. You know, I don't run dead on the speed limit, but I run just a little bit over.
Yeah, well, I don't even. I thought he was going to tell me a while ago that he got a speed ticket. I got me one last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Up there just outside of Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, got to shooting the breeze and listening to the radio, and I forgot what I was doing. And the next thing I know, I'm getting a whoop whoop.
Yeah.
84. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm going like, oh, okay. How much is that? $175.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Well, normally, if it's 70 mile an hour speed limit, you keep it under 80.
Right,
you usually leave you alone.
I've been trying to run mine on like 78, somewhere around in there with old cruise.
Yeah.
But sometimes, if I don't get off of it at cruise and start doing it myself, I get sleepy.
Yep. Yep. And not pay attention and be running a little faster.
If I'm working that foot, I might be paying attention.
Yeah. Yep. So. You know, it is what it is. Just be careful out there. But yeah, I've been stuck several times. I had one time I was going to class in Atlanta, and left here, and I think I had about a 3 hour delay getting to and through Montgomery.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
okay.
Right through that little junction there.
Yeah,
they had a big pile up, and it was backed up forever. And it was naturally somewhere right around Thanksgiving, and everybody was headed back to, you know, headed back home or whatever after the holiday. And, you know, I had to travel on that Sunday, which made me decide to never do that again. Yeah, if it's a holiday, I'm not going to school the next Monday.
I might ride over to Pensacola and back, you know, see my grandjunkers, but I'm not going to.
Right.
I'm not going to get out on a, or excuse me, great grandyoungs.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to get out on the big road, not for no, you know, 10-hour drive.
No, it's just, it's really not worth it. You know, there's too many people out there, and nowadays you can wait and do it when everyone else is at work or asleep, one or the other.
Right, you know? Right. So true.
So. Just have to take it and make it safe as possible, because you know the more crowded it's going to be, the harder it's going to be on you.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we're going to get our guests here online when we come back.
Right.
Thank you for listening to the Car Talk Show, and we'll be back.
You got a card.
And the highway is our song. Every city is like the same three chords. Been helping us along when the story's told. And the crowd is come and gone, shaking off the mind.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show tonight. This is Tom Claxton with you. And it's a distinct pleasure for us tonight to have a couple of our local politicians that are running here for some very, very important offices in the Mobile area, and we happen to be familiar with these people and know them, and we'd like to bring out some of their points that they are talking about, and things that they'd like to continue to see or change in the offices that they're running for. And we have Ms. Dox with us here tonight. You are the circuit court clerk of Mobile, but this is the first time you've actually had to run for office. You were appointed before, right?
That is correct.
And you had quite a few years of business in the court system as such?
Yes, sir. I've worked in the state system for 18 years. I have spent 10 years working for some of our circuit judges, 3 years working in court administration, and then in March of 2020, I was actually appointed to the position of court administrator of the 13th Judicial Circuit.
Dang, that's strong.
Yes, sir.
That's a good background.
It is a good background.
Now I know why they appointed you for circuit clerk.
Yes, sir. And then prior to coming to the state, I actually have 13 years of experience working as a paralegal office manager and legal secretary on the what I call the private sector, for lawyers and stuff. So I bring a great combination of knowledge and experience to my position.
So you were, as I said, you were appointed to this position back here, what, half a year ago?
Just over a year ago, about 15 months ago.
So then, but you do have the experience in the office where the other... How many opponents do you have running? One or two?
I have a Republican opponent in the primary, and also have a Democratic opponent. Well, that will be
okay,
in the general.
Okay, but neither one of them have been in your office.
That is correct.
They don't have experience.
Well, actually, the Democratic opponent, she is currently one of my clerks in my office.
Oh, she's currently one of your clerks.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Now, we had the little girl that's running against you on our show last month, and she mentioned something to me about a jury app or a program that she was pushing. What are your thoughts on this, and how would that work?
Well, the most direct way I can say that is Donald Trump would say that is what we call fake news. And the facts are this. My office as circuit court clerk actually has absolutely nothing to do with the jury process in Mobile County.
Ooh, okay.
The jury process in Mobile County lies with the court administrator and the presiding judge. It is a department that was established well over 40 years ago to handle juries in Mobile County. There is a specifically assigned duty of the court administrator. So, another fact is that even if it was a function of the clerk's office, that program could not be implemented for a multitude of reasons.
Okay.
One is that any program for jury service has to be done statewide because we are a unified judicial system. And what that means is that within all 67 counties of Alabama, we all have the same network and we all talk to each other. So anything that you implement for one county, you have to implement for all the counties. And our current system and network simply cannot support any program like that.
Mercy. Hmm.
And let's take that a step further. Let's look at the broader picture of that, okay? Even if it could be implemented, it would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to implement.
We don't need another more spending.
And that's not even talking about the maintenance of it. That's just to implement that statewide. That's and overloading an already taxed network statewide. And who's going to pay for that system?
Right. I
mean, taxpayers? Right. You're going to put that on the taxpayers?
Well, yeah, here you go. Who's going to pay for that?
Right. I mean, right now my office doesn't even have enough funding to pay for the salaries and personnel of my 60 employees that I have that are absolutely essential to doing the job that we currently do. So I mean.
How does that work?
Say that again.
How does that work if you don't, you know, if there's not enough money allocated for all those
people? Good question. So within the state system, you're allotted a certain number of what we call court specialists, and those are true state employees, ones that work, ones that have all the benefits and all that. But the amount that we're allotted through state funding is not enough to accurately give me enough employees to do the job that we're required to do in the circuit clerk's office. So what I have to do is I have to hire people, and this is such a travesty to me, have to hire people on a timesheet. These are timesheet employees. They do the exact same job as our clerks and the court specialists. But if they don't work, they don't get paid. They have no retirement. And so and they have no accrued leave. So it's you want to throw a jury app, or even if it could be done on top of that. So my goal is to get all those people, get proper funding to get all 60 of my employees to be true state employees. That, to me, is a very important goal to have as the clerk of the court. So
that's just really unbelievable. That sounds like McDonald's temporary employees.
Well, and a sad fact is this. I have interviewed people to come to work for me, and we love to get young people in. We love to get young people that are going to be here for a long time and grow within the system. As soon as I tell them what I can pay them, they go, "Well, I can make more money being a manager at Fusakli's."
Right, right.
So we constantly fight that type of problem in the clerk's office.
Because those people are making $800,000, $1,500 a week.
Absolutely.
Running those food joints.
Absolutely.
You know?
But honestly, anything to do with jury service as it relates to the clerk's office, it's not possible. It is, you know, it's misleading. It's 100% not a job function of mine or my office.
Mercy. Mm-mm-mm. So that's one of the, you know, that is the main reason then that the suggested new changes would not work.
100%.
Okay. If it was opening to change something in there, then you've already done it.
Yes, and that's something else with regard to our state system. So, no question, we could improve so much with our clerks, with our juries. Even, and I don't think there's any question about that. The problem lies in we have to get our stuff from the state. So I constantly rely on the state to give me the programs and stuff to implement. And any time that they give me something, I'm always looking at that as, is this good for Mobile County?
Right,
is this going to streamline our process in Mobile County? And if that answer is yes, we're going to implement and we're going to do it. And that is what we have done right now. And we are 100% streamlined and efficient in every division of my clerk's office.
I would think that if you had any serious problems or there was any problems in sight, that you wouldn't have all of the judges, all of the other elected officials that are there are dealing with you on a daily basis. Backing you.
That is 100% correct. I am very fortunate to have a large, large amount of endorsements and support in the legal community.
Well, you know, I can readily understand that in that if I'm running one of those big jobs and have all of the headaches and the heartaches that they have down there, and I've got a problem with somebody in an office that I'm having to deal with daily, I'm damn sure not going to stand up and tell them what a good job they do.
True,
that's just got your boy knowledge, you know?
I always say you would know if I wasn't doing a good job because you'd be hearing about the problems in the court system. Don't know me and know what I do is a good thing.
Right, yeah. But, you know, that is so true, you know? If somebody's not making waves or they're doing the job, then, you know, they don't get out the armor to slow them down, you know?
Sure.
So, you're blessed with that, and I don't know of anybody that's relative to guest, you know, that's saying you're not doing a good job.
Correct, yes.
So, you know, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you on the show. I think you need to be in the job. But tell us about some of the things that you may have accomplished during this 18-year career of yours that you're proud of.
Sure. Well, a lot of things I've done. When I started, as I mentioned, I was appointed court administrator back in 2020, and that was right during the time that the COVID pandemic hit.
Okay.
And one of the things that I'm incredibly proud of with regard to that is you remember when that hit, and it was kind of a new thing for everybody.
Oh,
you had
it was.
All these
it was
masking
crazy.
And all this yeah. federal requirements
right.
and 6 foot spacing and all that. And when we realized, and again, court administration is who does juries, and that was my job at the time. When we realized that the COVID pandemic was here to stay for a while, we were continuing to have that mounting backload of cases of because criminals are still committing crimes.
Right, right.
We just can't do anything about
it. If anything, it's gotten worse.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we couldn't do anything about it because you can't put 14 people in a jury box that are not 6 feet apart.
It just don't work that way.
Right. So what I did and what I was tasked with doing was restructuring the way that jury trials were done in Mobile County. And what I was able to do is restructure that process to make sure that Mobile County tried jury trials in Mobile in Mobile during the COVID pandemic with every single COVID protocol in place.
Ooh.
The end result of that, and this is something I'm very proud of, and it was a collaborative effort between
sure.
our judges,
yep.
law enforcement, so many people.
Y'all all had to work together as a team.
Absolutely. Mobile County tried the most jury trials during the COVID pandemic, and it has helped with our backlog and stuff. So
that helped break the backlog down quicker.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. How much time we got, Mr. Phillip? Okay. Well, I know that there's a couple of other things that I want to talk to you about, so we're going to take a short break and get a word from our sponsors and people that help pay the bills. And we come back and we will continue our conversation.
Sounds
with
great.
Ms. Knox.
On the wrong end of the highway, when the long night has no end, when there's no one there beside me, till I hold you once again. Thank God for the radio. When I'm on the road, when I'm far from home.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Tom Claxton here with you tonight. Kevin Ray Wilkos is here. He's having a little conversation out there with our attorney that's running for a judgeship, and he'll be back on the air here with us shortly. But I want to continue some few questions here that I have for Ms. Knox that's running for the circuit court clerk here in Mobile County, which she is currently clerk. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is your job isn't that easy understood, but is an incredibly important job with the court system. And I had no idea all the things that is consummated within that facility that y'all are in charge of, and the monetary monies and all that you have to
absolutely.
Have. Somebody's got to have it.
Absolutely.
And that just happens to be y'all's ball game.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's
so
a
can
huge
you talk
job.
To us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. My job is definitely not a glamour job. It is an in-the-trenches job. Most people have no clue what the circuit court clerk does.
I had no idea.
So, but the clerk's office is the backbone of our court system, and I kind of explain it as the judges and our law enforcement officers cannot do their job until the clerk's office does our job.
Right.
And when you talk about money and that sort of thing, do you know that the clerk's office receives over $2.5 million a month?
Well, it looks like y'all could get a percentage of that or something.
I wish we could. It'd help with that funding issue we talked
fee.
About. So,
yeah,
we
got
yes,
about a 10,
yes.
10 or 15% collection fee here.
Absolutely. But, I mean, but that's why it's so important.
Well, in other words, all the money for the courts is funneled through there, though.
Generally speaking, yes, sir, that is correct. We have
the majority.
Yes, sir. We have 8 different bank accounts in the clerk's office, one for each division, and that's where that $2.5 million comes in. We know what to do with every dime of that money. Some of that is court cost. Some of that is fines. Some of that is like garnishment fees, judgments, all that sort of thing. But we know what to do with every dime of that money. And under my leadership, we just had our first state audit, and I'm very proud of the fact that we had 0 findings in our state audit.
What?
Which means that every 8 of our bank accounts were absolutely perfect. So
that is unbelievable.
Yes. So.
That's like a gold star right there.
Right.
We'll go back to school.
That's what
you
proven
need to get a
leadership.
Gold star, yeah.
That's right. Proven leadership, proven knowledge, and proven experience at the state level.
Well,
that's
then it's the office within itself is a hell of a lot more important than we here in the public have any idea about.
That is absolutely
and
correct.
And we'd be blessed to keep you in this position.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So having been in this position now for well over a year, do you see that you could or would want to change or improve anything? I mean, that would be my next question because I've been in management for 50 years, so
sure.
I kind of know where you're at.
And again, the clerk's office is running as smoothly and as efficiently as it can right now within the guidelines of us being a state agency, which is always a struggle
right.
because we have constraints and we have funding issues and all those sort of things. But if I had one thing that I would like to address in the near future, and that's with regard to restitution payments for victims of crime. First off, I want to clear up just a little bit of confusion. The Mobile County Circuit Clerk's Office does, in fact, collect its own court cost, and we also collect restitution payments, which I think was something that might have been put out there that is somewhat misleading.
Right, it was, yeah.
So we do that. The clerk's office collects fines, court costs, and restitution. But getting back to that restitution, one of the things that I plan to work on this coming year is making sure that victims of crimes get their restitution payments. And here's an interesting fact. Up until about 7 months ago, any money that was collected by our district attorney's recovery unit went first back to the DA's office and not actually to the victims of crime.
What?
Correct. So, you know, so you can talk about, yeah, a lot of money was collected, but a very, very large portion of that money did not ever make it back to the hands of victims. Fortunately, now we have a DA that's a team player, and we were able to change how those funds were allocated to allow that money now to go first to those victims of
right,
crime and not
right.
last as it has been
right.
prior to
yeah.
7 months ago.
They're the one that's been damaged.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So restitution is one of those things that I do intend to focus on in the clerk's office this coming year, addressing that issue of restitution, especially as it relates to non-dispersed funds.
And that being one of the questions that I had for you, what does that mean?
Well, so every month the clerk's office disperses checks to victims of crimes, right, that are trying to be reimbursed. And many times those checks come back to us due to something like a bad address, and they end up on what we call a non-dispersed list. And every month we print that list, and we send that list of those restitution payments to that Mobile County DART unit, that debt collection unit for the DA's office. The DART unit's job is to locate new addresses so that and update records so that we can get those payments, that restitution money, back to those
Amen.
Victims.
Yes.
And I was shocked to learn recently that right now we have close to $2 million sitting in our accounts waiting for that money to go back out, waiting on that update of that address from that DART unit so that we can send that money out to victims of crimes. I mean, this is not our money. It's not the DA's money. It's not the clerk's money. This is money that should be in the hands of victims of crime. My office is literally just sitting on it. It's people, single moms, elderly, fixed income people, these people that need their money. So I plan to sit down and discuss this with our DA and our presiding judge in the coming months, see if we can figure out a way to improve on how exactly we get
right.
that money back into the
so
hands
you just,
of
you
the
just
people
need
that
the
need
proper addresses.
We need addresses, yes.
So then you have to verify them, though, right?
We would send them back out again.
Right.
And hopefully a large portion of that money would actually get in the hands
get
of those people.
Get into proper hands.
Yes,
okay.
sir. Yes, okay. sir. But we're sitting there holding this money, waiting on those addresses. So in all fairness to Keith, he probably doesn't even realize the enormity of what we're looking
right,
at.
So right.
We need to get together. We need to sit down, the judge, the presiding judge, Judge Pipes, Judge D.A. Blackwood and I, and figure out how we can solve
yes.
that problem and get that money back into the hands
yes.
of victims of crimes.
Awesome gentleman. I think a lot of him.
Absolutely.
Well, all this being said, now, is there anything else that you might think that our listeners want to know that you'd like to bring out while you're here so we can close out our segment?
Absolutely. I want to touch briefly on my endorsements and the support that I have for my campaign. So I am very humbled to have the endorsement of 11 retired district and circuit judges from Mobile County from over the past 20 years. I also have the endorsement of the legal community, former clerk of court Joe Schwartzauer, as well as our law enforcement to include Sheriff Paul Birch and former Sheriff Sam Cochran. And these aren't just names on a website for
no,
me. These
no.
are people. This is not somebody that I just took to lunch and said, hey, you want to endorse me. These are people
right,
that actually
right.
know me and
they know
my
you.
Work
They've dealt with you and your office under your management team and under the previous management
every
team.
Single one of these people I know personally, and they know of my work, they know of my work ethic, and they know of my service to the state. And honestly, another thing I'd like to just point out very briefly is 1 year into my position, I continue to have the unwavering support of every single sitting judge on the bench of the 13th Judicial
Circuit. That's awesome.
And I'm proud to be a
part
of that.
That's awesome when you can say that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because sometimes personalities get in the way. But
Sure. We're a great team up there. So I like to say that I'm the fresh eyes and new energy of the clerk's office. So I am a proven leader who understands the duties and challenges of my office, who knows how to get things done within the state system, and I am very good at what I do. And I look forward to continuing to do my job as your Mobile County Circuit Court clerk.
Continue to do your
good
job.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, it's been a blessing to have you on board here with us tonight. And we have some real great fans and listeners out here that continue to listen for this show for over the last 40 years. And I know that the information that you were able to bring out is very enlightening to them, and they will be considering that when they step into that booth.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be here this evening.
It's
really been my pleasure.
It's a blessing to have you on. That's what we need to, that's what we're here to do, is to enlighten our listeners, and whether it be automobiles or political.
Right, right. And I hope I've done just that.
You have done an awesome job.
Awesome. Thank you,
sir. Glad to have you on board.
All right.
All right. And that we've got a gentleman that's coming on board here with us now. Mr. Richard Foreman is running for our district court judge in place 6. And it's an extreme pleasure to have Brother Foreman on here with us. I had the occasion to communicate with him on several occasions here, and we're extremely pleased to have him on board. And this, Richard, it's neat to have you on board, buddy.
It's great to be here.
Don't let that microphone eat you up now.
It's great to be here. Good to see you again.
Yeah,
good to see you again.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, this district court judge, place 6, I didn't know that there was any such thing.
It's a new position that the legislature created. Just the county's growing, the cases aren't stopping, and the legislature decided that we needed a new position, so they finally gave us one. And so, like I said, I'm running for it. I'm not trying to kick anybody off the bench. If you have favorites, it's a brand new position. I'm just trying to be the first one in it.
Well, give us a little insight on your background, your history, and your work periods. What have you been doing?
Well, I'm 48 years old. I've been practicing law for about half my life now. 10 years I've spent as a prosecutor, as assistant district attorney.
Okay.
And I've prosecuted every kind of case, from murders and rapes and robberies all the way down to drug possessions and thefts. Anything you can think of, I prosecuted.
Right.
I was served as a senior prosecutor during that time, and I was on the sexual assault recovery team. I was part of the sexual assault kid initiative while I was there, and I've successfully prosecuted more cases than any other candidate in this race. That was for 10 years, and then for almost another decade, I was in either civil or private practice, so I know what it's like to run my own business.
So you know how to sign a check?
I do.
I see so damn many politicians that they have no idea. They've never even kept up a checkbook, you know?
A wife or
a girlfriend or somebody has done that for them, and they never wrote a check and never worried about paying a bill.
It seems like most of those have ended up in Washington here lately.
They're all in Washington, you know? And some of them have drifted down here, though.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
But, yeah, exactly. But, like I said, so I know what it's like to run my own business, and I practice every kind of law that a district court judge is going to see. And for the past 3.5 years, I've been training and supervising attorneys as the deputy public defender at the public defender's office. I had my own office. The state and the county decided they were going to open that office. They asked me to come help start it.
Okay.
And I saw that as an opportunity to serve the county. So I thought this is what I need to be doing.
What background do you have about our veterans court?
The veterans court
Wait a minute. Are you familiar with it?
I am.
I'm going to give you time for it. Then let's just wait. What time we got, Philip?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, just we're going to move out here and get another break and get our sponsors back on here and let people know that they're out there, that we need for them to be buying their products. But the Veterans Court is an extremely important thing for me, being a veteran and being the commandant of the current B.O. Wilson Detached Marine Corps League. And I do this Scuttlebutt Network Veterans Show. So, yeah, I want to talk about the Veterans Court, and I'd like for you to give me a little bit of insight on it as to what your knowledge is and all, and if you think it'll work. But we're going to take this break, and we'll be right back. People, don't run off. Too much to believe. You know we always-
got an extra pack of cigarettes rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I said, baby, he got another one that just say, hey. Whatever Sunday afternoon, he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Tom Claxton with you here. Kevin will be on board here with us in a little while, and we will continue our show on The Car Doctor Show and take any phone calls that you may have in regards to your car problem. But right now, I want to continue my conversation with Brother Richard Foreman here for District Court Judge Place 6. And he has some insight a little bit on some history of knowledge of the Veterans Court that we now have cranked up in Mobile County. And I'd just like to get his insight on it, on what he thinks about it, and what we're maybe really looking at there. Because I want to be involved in that. I'm serious that we need this for our veterans in this area, and all the little petty stuff that they've got themselves into. And we need some way for those guys to get themselves cleaned up and get back into the system and become more productive citizens. So enlighten us a little bit as to what you're familiar with on that, Brother Foreman.
Absolutely. And I know that for a long time that we've been here practicing, that the Veterans Court, how it was set up in Mobile County, it just was not working.
Right.
It was not working. And they've made some efforts lately, the courts, the judges, the district attorney's office, to try and revamp that system to try to actually accomplish what it needs to accomplish,
right,
which is helping our veterans who get themselves in these situations and provide an avenue for them to get treatment and to get them through the system.
Yes.
And it's still kind of a work in progress right now, I would say. Like I said, I've been going out to the Veterans Council meetings, and I think I saw you out there at the last one, actually.
Right.
And talking to some of these people with Vets Recover and those type
yes,
of organizations.
Yes.
And there's a lot of organizations. And I think that what I would like to see is for the Veterans Court to actually start partnering with Vets Recover and some
other
organizations.
Yeah, I think that's one of the serious parts that they need to do now that John Kilpatrick has got that thing off of the ground over there in his facility. They've got like 36 rooms, I believe, and I think maybe 20 or 25 of them are there for addiction problems. They have psychiatrists on staff. They have any kind of medical thing there that they needed, but it is a certified federal veterans clinic, and they're in a position to do a good job for us, and I would certainly hope that they would become part of that Veterans Court phase.
I agree 100%, and I think that we certainly need to get them involved in it, and you know, as your judge, I would take efforts and do what I can to try to make that happen, because like I said, they are wanting this program to work. But it's just getting everyone on the same page and getting everyone to agree and finding the best way for it.
Right, right.
And like I said, I see from, like I said, from talking to them and going to the Veterans Council meetings, how that can work and
right,
how that can work.
So it is a veterans help in progress.
Absolutely.
It has a good light.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's bright, shining bright.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, anything else you need to bring forth here?
Well, I'll just tell you, and just kind of leave it with this with you, is that, you know, I'm a Republican candidate, I'm conservative, and I always say that as Republicans, there's things that we don't compromise on in this
right,
world. You know, we don't compromise on our faith.
Right.
We don't compromise on our constitutional rights.
Right.
And I don't think that, especially today more than ever, I don't think we should be compromising when we go to the polls.
No.
I'm talking from the top of that ballot to president,
yes,
all the way down to the bottom.
Yes.
You don't compromise on any candidate.
Well, we can't continue going down the road we're going.
Absolutely not.
And we're so close to becoming a socialist country that it's just unbelievable.
You are absolutely correct, and which is why it's important for us not to make those compromises.
Right.
And so I'm just asking everyone to vote for candidates that share your beliefs.
Sure.
Vote for candidates that are qualified, that are experienced.
Yes.
That you know can get the job done. And like I said, my experience, I know I can get this job done.
Yeah, if you've got 20 years experience in all facets of the court
yes,
system
sir.
And all prosecuting and civil as well. Okay.
But like I said, I don't want anyone to compromise when they go to the polls, because I promise you, when I'm your judge, I'm not going to compromise on the
right.
law.
True.
I'm not going to compromise on
no,
the Constitution.
No, thank you. God bless you, brother.
And I'm not going to compromise
yes.
on your safety.
That's cool. Glad to have you on board tonight.
Hey, it's great to see you.
All right, looking forward to seeing you get the votes.
Thank
all right.
you very much.
Mr. Richard Foreman, District Court Judge, Place 6 here in the Mobile area. It's been a pleasure to have Mr. Foreman on board here with us. We'll get Mr. Raywinkle back in here now. We might talk about a few cars or something here and see what's happening with that.
There he is.
All right. He's
back. I'm
back. He's back. The doctor is back in the house. Yes, all right.
Get my headphones back on.
Get your headphones
hear
back
something.
On, brother. Yeah.
It's all good. It's all
I hear you. Let me get up here and take a picture. Come on in.
I'm going to break your latest camera.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll break our camera there. That's good. All right.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight. I know we've been off on politics a little bit, but that's all good. That's what we're here for, to get the word out.
Right. So, well, it's some of these things that we need to bring forth when they see the need. And you know, if you don't hear these people talk firsthand and get the right questions asked, then how do you know who to vote for?
Right.
You know?
And the law covers plenty of politics behind the automobile industry. And
well, yes, industry. Yes, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's, I don't know, there's so much politics trying to get pushed onto the car business and all that. So, I mean, it's, we need to know what's going on out there. We need
right,
to,
we
need
certainly
to,
do.
They need to know what side to stay on.
yeah.
So, and, you know, it's just kind of like the electric car thing that's been kind of rammed down our throat.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
That was all politics. I still think it can be a very, very good thing for the country, but it's not quite ready yet.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
There's definite areas, you and I have talked about them, where the solar panels and the electric vehicles with the batteries
right.
could be utilized every day.
Yeah.
We've got so many vehicles running these streets that's got all the big tops and big roofs and all on them, mm-hmm. and they could be charging their systems all day long
right.
while they're out there on the street.
Yep.
And then it wouldn't take that much electricity to just kick them off, top them off at night.
Right.
When they, because if those solar panels are working, and you can't say we don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
That's bull, you know, come on.
Right. Right.
Well, you know, we could build an airplane, you know, fly 4,000 miles an hour. We can certainly build a solar panel that will hold up on top of a mail truck.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah,
you would think.
Yeah, or UPS so. Truck. Yeah,
but
hey, even the 18-wheelers. Look at the cubic footage that's on top of those trailers,
mm-hmm.
where they could be using solar panels, and they could be a hybrid. Those vehicles
right.
could be a hybrid,
right?
Where they could utilize the batteries. And, you know, at night, they'd have to, you know, have to run off of the diesel fuel or whatever, or
right.
hydrogen,
yeah.
even.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the, well, I know we're running up the end of our show, but, you know, it's always a good thing. We'll get back into it next week. But I do want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And this is Car Doctor Kevin Ramon, along with Tom Claxton.
Dang, I didn't realize I burned up all that time.
That's right.
All right.
Well, hearing you talk has never been a problem for you. So,
oh, is that not? Well, that's not a problem.
Like
I just don't know when to
talk,
shut the hell
so
up.
It's all good, so.
But anyway, well, we're trying to be a good citizen, and we want to say hoorah to all of our vets.